And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Interoperability Standards Workgroup. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and we are always glad when you can join us. All workgroup meetings are open to the public, and your feedback is welcomed, which can be typed in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting, or can be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:55 Eastern Time this morning. I'll begin roll call of our workgroup members, so when I call your name, please indicate if you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Sarah DeSilvi.
Here.
Therese Sunder Rajan.
Here.
Pooja Bagra.
Present.
Sila Blend. Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning, I'm here.
Hans Bootendijk.
Good morning.
Christina Caraballo.
Morning.
Grace Cordovano.
Good morning.
Raj Dash.
Here, good morning.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Nitra Garrett.
Good morning, I'm here.
Good morning. Raj Gabarty.
Good morning.
Brant Thomas Karras. Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Hung Lu.
Good morning.
Meg Marshall.
Hi, good morning, I'm here.
Anna McAllister.
Good morning, I'm here.
Glenn McDonald.
Here, or present, whatever you like.
Thanks, Glenn. Devin McGraw.
Hello, I'm here.
Aaron Leary. Aaron Neinstein.
The other Aaron is here.
All right, thank you, Aaron. TK Lomo, Ocean Canton. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber or Bridget Calvert?
Bridget Calvert here.
I believe Shelley Spiro is not able to join us today, but she should be back next week. And Ram Sharam. All right, thank you, everybody, and now please join me in welcoming Sarah and Harish for their opening remarks.
Greetings, everybody. I'm going to let Naresh lead as well, but this is just a welcome back as we look forward to addressing kind of some level setting questions that were raised from the last meeting, just trying to make sure that everyone understands the work to be done, and then we look forward into the latter part of the meeting, diving into the work via the asynchronous Google Doc. So we're going to review charges and timelines, again, have that USCDI process background review from our friend Al Taylor, thank you. Again, dive deep down into the work and then enter public comment. Naresh, anything to add?
Yep, that's pretty much what today's plan is, and Sarah, others.
All right, next slide, please. next slide. Again, we are always level set with the charge for this iteration of the ISWG. The overarching charge is to review and provide recommendations on draft USCDI V4. Specifically, it is a charge to evaluate the new data classes and elements from draft USCDI V4. And you can see us kind of focusing on that charge within the ONC populated elements on the Google Doc that we'll discuss later. And then once we've completed that initial charge, it is to dive into and evaluate any level two data classes and elements that were not included in draft USCDI V4. So again, moving first through the first charge, which is those new classes and elements, and you'll see that reflected in the Google Doc organization when we shift to that work. Any questions? We will repeat this charge. We tried to make sure that we level set on the charge again before we enter into the working session of the meeting. Next slide, please. And again, this is in response, again, to just some really honoring some of the questions and some of the new members. In response to last meeting, we thought we'd reserve a section to really make sure that we're all on the same page regarding USCDI, USCDI process, because there were comments regarding process in the chat last time. So it's our honor to welcome our friend Al Taylor to help us walk through, again, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. Al?
Thanks, Sarah.
So the next slide, please. So as Sarah said, there were some questions, especially to the new folks to the work group and to HITAC, about sort of what USCDI is, how it fits into the overall portfolio of services and resources that ONC provides, including questions about the Interoperability Standards Advisory and USCDI Plus. I have a slide for this that will come out in the minutes, later. I just did not have a chance to add this slide about some additional ONC resources, but I did want to talk about those first because I think the context of how USCDI fits into those other things, I think is valuable for folks. As we have said multiple times, USCDI is this core set of data elements for exchange, for interoperable healthcare exchange. USCDI is required for certification. If you certify, you have to certify to the ability to exchange USCDI data elements using several other certification criteria, using FHIR and CCDA, for example. And USCDI is updated through this annual process. And I mentioned on the slide here, it notes this transparent, predictable, and collaborative process. And that's what we're going to go over today. It's like each component of the collaborative process. And it's done so on an annual basis. The Interoperability Standards Advisory is similar to USCDI, or at least there are some similarities to it. But what the Interoperability Standards Advisory is, or ISA, is really a compendium. It's just a list, a catalog of current and emerging health IT standards. And those standards are not only content and vocabulary, but also things like structure and exchange and other administrative functions inherent to health IT. Not all of those standards are required. Some of those are required by the ONC certification program. Some of them are required by CMS's quality reporting programs, and a lot of other things that are required. But some of these standards that are listed in the ISA are simply just available out there. Various amounts of adoption and use in health IT and in healthcare, and And the nice thing about the ISA is that it's a place to go to look and see if, hey, I want to do something. Is there a standard that I can use already that's already in use, at least in some places, or available to start with or to build off of? And so that's one of the advantages of the ISA is its flexibility because users can recommend changes to it that can be made really on the fly. Updates really do happen continuously, and it provides a lot of, it's a great place to go to look if you're not sure about what standards to use. We do identify the USCDI standards that in the ISA, at least some of them. We have not fully built out that capability yet, but even though not all of the standards in the ISA are required, some are. And some of them are part of USCDI, and we indicate those on those pages of USCDI. And like I said, the ISA is updated continuously. When we get input from stakeholders about a particular ISA page, we can update it. And then annually, we publish sort of a reference edition. We call it the reference edition. And again, it's a static, referenceable resource where things are at the end of any given calendar year. And we just published about 3 weeks ago, we just published the 2023 reference edition. And I will put, when I come offline, I'll put the links in the chat unless somebody wants to do that for me for the ISA. And then USCDI, there's a lot of talk last meeting about USCDI. Even though it shares the name, it's not related to USCDI, other than it uses USCDI as the reference base. But USCDI Plus is a program that ONC created recently, a few months ago, that engages with various federal agencies to support their particular program requirements that have sets of data. And those sets of data may be different, may exceed or maybe a subset of what USCDI is and requires. So this is the enrollment or the beginning of a USCDI project starts with federal agencies engaging with ONC, and we've got a couple of programs, a couple domains underway right now, as I mentioned before. But this is specifically a service that ONC provides to engaged federal agencies to provide support for that data. Like we do, we support data requirements in the ISA, and we support data requirements in the USCDI, and then we also support data requirements that are outside of those, although there's definitely a lot of overlap. Going back to this slide for USCDI, if I can, and this is just for background information for the work group. As I think everybody knows, USCDI was created out of the CARES Act final rule, which is a new, was also implemented a new certification version. And USCDI is a set of data, as I mentioned before, that is required in certain ONC certification criteria. What's listed in the third bullet is those criteria in sort of plain text. It does not have the whole statutory code, but these are the areas of health IT where USCDI is used, and it's used through the use of the consolidated clinical data architecture or the FHIR US Core Exchange implementation guides. And these are the areas where USCDI is used, at least in part. I mentioned the process, which we're gonna go through. And the one thing I wanna talk about is the transparent and predictable part. And the reason that that's an important part of this is because we have established one process in order to make recommendations for new data elements in USCDI and then to make recommendations for, you know, promoting those things that have already been submitted. And I mention that because there's a lot of different ways of getting in touch with ONC and expressing your opinion. We get letters, we get public comments on calls like this. We get formal input from HITECH. We get formal input from HITECH through a separate process, but it's specifically solicited in order to inform USCDI versioning. And then we get emails, we get blogs, we get tweets, but there is one process, and we continually try and guide folks who want to express their opinions about stuff that we're doing with USCDI into this single process so that everybody knows who's saying what about USCDI. And we could get an email that nobody else knows was sent. And if ONC acted on that email, it would not be predictable and transparent. And so we guide folks that want to send emails. We love emails, but we guide them towards sort of pasting that email into, or the content of the email into, a comment so that everybody knows that agency X or organization Y had this kind of input, and that it could help them, you know, craft their own responses to USCDI. And so that is that single public, transparent, predictable process that we try to maintain in order to inform new versions of USCDI. I'll get to that. I got to go back and look at that chat in a second, but I will talk about that in just a minute because we do talk about versions in a little bit. So as we publish new versions, as we all know, the CARES Act implemented USCDI version 1. And USCDI version 1 is the single version that is required for certification. As of December of last year or January 1st of this year, all certified EHRs are required to have updated the USCDI and all of the other certification criteria in the CARES Act final rule. And then to have provided those updates to their customers. We have, in the meantime, published two final versions of USCDI, and we have just published the draft version, which is why we're all here today. those versions are, we have also a process in place to encourage developers and users to implement those more recent versions of US CDI, even though we can't require them by law. We cannot require version 2 or version 3 to be used or implemented for certification. But we have a process called the Standards Version Advancement Process, which encourages uptake of these new versions. As of right now, US CDI version 2 is available for update. I don't have any updated, we only recently had it become available for updating, so vendors can update their systems to the US CDI version 2, provide the list to their customers so that we can get things like SOGI and SGUH data into the EHRs and usable and moving. That's how we work on getting these newer versions. But US CDI version 1 is the only standard required in the certification program. There is at least one other version available, and hopefully I'll go through the timeline with you, but come this summer, US CDI version 3 hopefully will be available for updating in systems. Next slide. A note on the timeline, and this is that we're in this timeline. This timeline is continuous and repeating. Last summer, we received two sets of input for US CDI version 4. The first one is new data element submissions. And since version 2, we've been accepting submissions for new data elements through the OnDeck system and evaluating each of those submissions for new data elements for feasibility and readiness for addition to a new version of US CDI. We also accept comments on previously submitted data elements, including those that were accepted in US CDI, but in particular, those that had not yet been accepted into US CDI. And we evaluate those comments to see they've got a good point, the commenter has a good point, this is more mature or it's more broadly applicable. And so we will consider it for US CDI version 2. And we have, and we do, and we plan to not only fully consider, but in some cases accept some of those comments as justification to add new data elements. We publish a new version of a new draft US CDI version, in this case draft US CDI version 4, in the January timeframe. We're in the comments and feedback process or period for draft US CDI version 4 until April, in this case April 17th. Once we have a chance to go sort through all of those comments and evaluate them, we will take that and figure out what we need to put into the final version of US CDI 4. Next slide. This is a screenshot of the OnDeck. This is the OnDeck landing page where users can come to make recommendations, and there's a few features of this that I want to talk about, this transparent process. One of them is the first step in this process, or step zero, is to see if anyone else has submitted data elements that you're interested in adding. Okay, this is a search of just US CDI web page, although you can change it. You can also search other parts of US CDI, other parts of ONC, including the ISA, to see if there are standards out there. But this is so that people don't submit duplicate entries. It still allows you to submit something that's the same as something else or similar to something else. But for efficiency, it makes sense to be able to add to something that's already been submitted and considered by ONC rather than add a separate one. But to combine forces and to create a stronger submission for addition. We do have some sort of helper documents. One of the prep sheet is a downloadable document that can be edited. It is not a data entry form. It is a form, it is a worksheet. Then that information would then have to be put back into OnDeck. If you are, you're happy with everything that you've read so far and done so far with searching previous data elements and using the prep sheet, you can start your submission. And then the other steps talk about the timeline. So once you put your submission in, we evaluate the submission for data elements. We publish those submissions. So even before we considered adding them to USDI, we publish those submissions. Everybody in the world can review it. Everybody in the world can get an account and make a comment on it. They can also identify people that might be stakeholders that have similar views or similar interests, and they can collaborate with those submitters and to make a stronger submission for consideration. And then once we have received all the submissions by the this was last year, September was the end of September was the cutoff. We work on all of those submissions, all of the comments, and then publish the next version of UNCDI again in the January of the following year. And then again, we plan on publishing based on all this input. We plan on publishing USCDI version 4 in July. Next slide. We have a set of sort of rules or guidelines that we use to pick from the many USCDI data elements that were submitted. No, sorry, not USCDI data elements, but the submissions, the data elements that were submitted for addition. There are a little bit more than 200. I'm trying to look at the exact number here, sorry. There's close to 200 level 2 data elements, and those are the most mature, most ready, most feasible to implement that we have, but we cannot because we're mindful of the total effort required to make an update USCDI and the US core version IG and the CCDA IGs. That we can't add everything, even the most feasible, we cannot add that many data elements because the interval to adopt the new version of USCDI would just simply be too great. And so we have to prioritize. We've identified the policy priorities that go into this. We've identified the technical priorities that go into this, and these are listed and they're published and they've been published for the last 2 years. And we use this to select amongst We consider all of these elements and based on that, we select amongst the level 2 data elements that have previously been submitted and make a determination about what should go into USCDI, the next version of USCDI. Next slide, please. Once we have a final version of USCDI and as we said before, in order to implement USCDI in health IT, it requires the certified health IT. It requires that the exchange mechanisms, being US Core, the FHIR IG, and the CCDA IG, those are required to move USCDI data elements between systems, including patient access and download. But also exchanging between providers and other partners. So the process is we finalize USCDI, and then HL7 and their work groups need to respond to USCDI so that they can make sure that the data elements are fully integrated into those IGs. And that takes some time. If you're familiar with the HL7 balloting process, the development and validating process, it takes some time. Because of just that's how the system works. And so they take some time and they have just recently balloted the versions that will be able to manage USCDI version 3. But as of right now, the standards that are available for updating in Health IT reflect the changes in USCDI version 2. Once the ballots for US Core and CCDA finish ballot reconciliation, ONC will consider those along with USCDI version 3. And hopefully in June timeframe, we'll announce that those versions that support USCDI version 3 will be available for updating, and hopefully the Health IT community will respond to that and adopt it and implement it, and everybody will get the content that's in USCDI version 3. Next slide, please. This is a super busy picture about the overall process and how that relates to each other. And I'm not going to go into this again in great detail, other than to say we're now in this public feedback and review period for draft V4, having just published draft V4. And that public, that period, that in period in orange is when, you know, that's when HITECH works on recommendations to ONC, all of which will be integrated into our decision-making process for preparing and publishing the final V4. And then, of course, the cycle continues. The other thing to note is that the top bar, the top gold bar, is the public review and process. We had a cutoff for comments and submissions for version 4, which ended in September. But it doesn't mean that you can't submit a comment or you can't submit a new submission. It just means that comments and submissions during that period will, for new data elements rather, will be considered for version 5. Comments during this period for submissions for comments are still being considered for draft V4. We're looking for comments on draft V4 specifically, but general comments about other data elements that have come in will be considered for version 5. And then this is the relationship, the lower swim lane is the relationship with the standards version advancement process. I talked about that, and let's move on to the other slide, next slide. Lots of chat questions that I think, I don't know if we can, I'm not sure if we can do them, what order we want to do them in. If there's time for questions about what I just covered, I can do it. If we might need to reconvene or send out some additional information. And Mike, I don't know Sarah and Naresh, how you want to handle some questions on this part.
I'll defer to Mike first, Mike, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that you and Naresh can open up questions to the work group members, and then you could review any questions or comments in the chat and see if you want to address any of those.
All right, okay, wonderful. So I'm just gonna note that some of the conversations in the chat are like ISWG members and not necessarily a question for Al, but I do see a question from Grace regarding, that I don't see has been addressed by anyone in the chat regarding intersections with USCDI and HIEs. Is that correct, Grace? Do you wanna ask your question, or do you feel like it's been addressed?
A general question, I was just curious, with the respect to the work that we're doing here, how does this work group impact HIEs, and is there a tie to TEFCA? I was just curious if there's any insight there, because HIEs are going to be a part of the information blocking rules too.
The data requirements, data exchange requirements, Grace, for TEFCA are not specifically tied to USCDI, but they're related to USCDI. I don't know. There might be two of the people that raised their hand may actually know the question, know the answer to the question. It's not specifically tied to USCDI, though. And HIEs, if they're following TEFCA, they'll use the data set that's required by TEFCA. Can use, and in some cases do use, the ones that are certified to exchange, like the CCDAs, they may use USCDI version 1 as the base data requirement, but they can also extend beyond that. And then did Hung or Steven have an answer to that particular question, or are they just raising their hand for something else?
Something else at this point.
Okay.
Something else.
Okay. What is the next?
Well, I think at this point, I think maybe some of the questions are stemming from the comments in the chat. So I'm going to work on the raised hands, and then we can default to some of the questions in the chat if they have not been answered yet. So Hung, would you like to ask your question?
Yes. So my question is whether or not we will have an opportunity to look at USCDI Plus. I do understand the thinking behind it is that it is intended to address more niche cases. But I think in some instances, what might initially appear as a very narrow use case could be possibly broadly applicable. And so I think there is utility in being able to see those elements and to see if there might be a wider use case that can be applied and elevated to USCDI rather than keeping it in USCDI Plus. Thank you.
So I think last year we did have a short presentation on USCDI Plus, but it was also very new. But Hung, I would not describe the USCDI Plus data requirements as niche. They are simply these are data requirements that reflect federal program requirements that are different than USCDI. So definitely not niche. I wouldn't call CMS quality reporting niche. I wouldn't call CDC public health reporting niche. It's a set of data that's not have perfect overlap in the Venn diagram with USCDI. And so I don't know the answer to your question about public visibility about USCDI data elements, but I will get back to you on that.
All right, and then moving on, I believe, Stephen.
Yeah, actually a couple of different questions now queued up in my head. One is related to USCDI Plus, Al, and I don't anticipate you'll have a solid answer, but I'll just throw the question out there from the chat again, is whether the industry should anticipate that the USCDI supplemental or use case specific requirements might also be named in rulemaking, for example, in the EHR certification program, because of course the kinds of reporting you're talking about, CMS quality, CDC, would seem to apply pretty broadly to certified health IT systems, while they may not constitute sort of the floor for interoperability more broadly that we include in USCDI. So do you have any sense of where we might see USCDI Plus instantiated in federal rules or programs?
Hey, Stephen, do you want me to comment?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. USCDI Plus is something that is just still beginning, even though we talked about it a year ago. And I think we would like to be as public as we can. And quite honestly, you said that these are, different versions. This isn't a different version. What we're really hoping is that we stick very closely with the, sort of core USCDI, but there are other requirements for reporting, such as in the federal quality programs or in the public health programs, or, there are other use cases, NIH research. And so these are areas that are perhaps larger and beyond the scope of the core USCDI, but we don't want them to be different. So if USCDI says we're going to report something through this standard, we want to do the same, but these are just more. So the answer to that is, yeah, you'll probably see, like in rule writing of the quality measures for CMS, for example, trying to standardize around not only USCDI, but USCDI Plus in those data elements. And I don't know that you'll see, maybe, I actually can't predict this one, if you'll see in rule writing a mandate that you have to use USCDI Plus, but where you will see it is probably in the data elements in the measures specifications of what is actually required in those elements. And Bridget, I know you're on the phone. I don't know if you want to answer a little bit more to what I've said. So you can expect that those data elements that come in USCDI for quality measures, you will see them in rule writing, probably not saying you have to use USCDI plus, but in rule writing for the measures.
Yeah, no, I think that's sufficient. And I think what you'll see is the USCDI plus being necessary as we start to implement through implementation guides, et cetera.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, I still had my hand up if I can continue, Al. You mentioned that TEFCA particularly did not name a standard or the standard of USCDI as the data to be exchanged. And yet, certainly the QHINs would qualify as HIN, HIO, HIE under the information blocking rule. And as such, would be required to exchange USCDI V1. Actually, that's a good point. They would need to exchange all the HIs. So just wanted to be clear again. So you're saying that as far as you know, or others from ONC on the line, there's nothing in TEFCA that specifically requires USCDI, any version of USCDI as the standard for exchange.
If there's not somebody from ONC that can confirm that, I believe that to be the case, Stephen, but if there's not anybody else from ONC that can confirm that right now, I will get back to you on an official answer.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And just real quick, squeezing in my last one, have any health IT vendors begun or completed the process of certifying to V2 under the SVAP?
Not sure. Checking with the chapel on the chapel and certified product lists. And I'm not sure yet, but it became available 6 months ago and I'm not sure.
Right, so I'm just trying to make sure we keep things going. So I believe Ike has a question and then I will go to Anna. Ask Ike.
Thank you so much for that. I just want to reiterate Dr. Lane's questions. We're getting our Steves confused again, but I had basically the same set of questions looking at what was the adoption rate of version 2 by SVAP participants. Because one of the things we're certainly concerned about is that if adoption is not universal or near universal, then it doesn't really become an effective tool for exchange. And as we're looking at particularly exchange with public health agencies and providers, if we're not adopting the same standards consistently across providers across the country, we're going to run into issues about being able to rely on what's included in the data set, which will make it more complicated for providers to implement reporting for public health. Thanks.
Thank you, Ike, for that comment. Moving on to Anna.
Hey, Barry. Again, my apologies, my voice is awesome. A couple of questions, and then I just got sidetracked a bit by the discussion around USCDI Plus. One is, I'd love to know and get clarity on what was the process for drafting that criteria for prioritization of various data classes that were suggested, A. B, I would like to know and just clarify in my head, and maybe I'm dense here, but understanding that the process by which, and it's been super helpful, by the way, as well as the homework assignments, understanding the process by which the data elements that are presented as part of the USCDI draft have been developed. Does the high tech still have members and work group members, do we still have the ability to recommend new data classes and elements, or are we limited to commenting on those elements that have already been proposed and vetted through this criteria? And then finally, and I have to run soon, but I just want to make sure all my questions are out and clarify. Finally, based on the discussion about USCDI Plus, it would seem to me, and I'm on like in QF quality measure committees, one of the issues we run into is like data sources and feasibility in collecting different data sources and the limitations on the types of quality measures that can be developed, recommended, and implemented based on whether or not there's data that can be readily collected. So with that frame of mind, if these data elements and classes are not included in USCDI, does that also, that essentially would limit the kinds of quality measures that could be developed, which could have significant relevance or significant impact on the relevance of those quality measures to the actual things that patients care about. So I'm just trying to get my head around these three specific elements.
Sure. I think I counted four questions here, Anna, and I'll try my best to answer all of them. The first one is, how did the prioritization process get developed? They sprang directly from recommendations from the HITECH in 2019 and 2020, and they have been refined. And actually, so the first eight of the ones that I listed on the slides were developed based on recommendations from HITECH through this or its this work group or its predecessor, the USCDI Task Force. We added the behavioral health prioritization criteria was developed as an evolving HHS priority, and there's a big move towards improving, creating parity for behavioral health. So that's one part. It's based on a variety of different kinds of input.
Is it possible to still amend that moving forward? Because there's no reference to the impact of the burden on patients in any of those criteria. There's focus on the burden.
There's a possibility. It's not within the scope of the work group, but it is within the scope of the public feedback process. Absolutely. And so yes, there is a possibility. And I looked and see how sort of that would fit into a recommendation for it. And it seems like a fine recommendation to modify that. And so that's certainly some feedback that we'd be interested in looking at. Really should have written these down. One question that you had was, is there ability to comment on the data elements or to submit new data elements? And absolutely. So this work group is charged with commenting on what was added to USCDI draft V4 and what was not added to draft V4 as like a level 2 data element. So that's the most mature ones that we're already considering. And what should we reconsider amongst those level 2 data elements? The work group will create recommendations to cover both of those, what's in USCDI V4 and what's in level 2 that's not. And individuals, as we'll hear from the co-chairs and me down the road, is individuals on this work group and everybody else has the opportunity to make their own individual comments on things during the comment period. And then during the submission period, anybody is welcome and invited to submit data elements through the ONDAC for consideration for version 5 if they had not already been submitted. And then you also had a question about the relationship between USCDI Plus. I can't really answer that question right now because it's a separate process. Maybe we can, if we do address that during the work group, I can also direct you to some additional information about USCDI Plus as far as the program goes. The public information that we put out about about USCDI Plus, and then the other participants, so some of whom are on a call, like Michelle Schreiber, might be able to provide you with some additional information about sort of the CMS's perspective on USCDI Plus.
I think that would be super helpful. helpful. And again, this has all been incredibly helpful. So thank you to Al and Mike and everybody involved. One of my frustrations on the NQF committees has been the fact that it's an understandable requirement that there be a lot of data. But if the data can only come from really well-established informatics systems, it really limits the emergence of new outcomes measures and quality measures that I would argue, at least in many cases, are more relevant to patients. So that places a significant, this isn't just about interoperability, it's about measurement of actually what matters. So if that's the case, and I could be misunderstanding, if that's the case, then we need to consider these data elements within the context of how we're assessing quality, not just which things get exchanged from one hospital setting to the other.
And this is Michelle Schreiber. I don't want to co-opt the meeting talking about, you know, the quality strategy, but I'm happy to, you know, to talk to you individually, or Al, I don't know if there's something that you want more of the, as the group for this, because there is a whole different process, Anna, of looking at what are the quality priority strategies, who's weighing in, who's making recommendations, and so forth and so on.
I would love that, Michelle. Thank okay. you.
And I just thank you for those, the series of very thoughtful questions, and thank you for Al's response. I believe we have probably time for the one more hand up that we have, and then we're going to pivot to some of the working sessions that we have for the later part of the day to really make sure everyone's aware of how we start commenting on USC at IV4 and complete that first charge. Moving on to Joel.
Thank you. So I just want to, in response to Anna's comment, I think I wrote this in the chat, but I think in general, the goal is to, slowly phase our quality measures over to digital quality measurement and linking them to the standards in US CDI and US CDI Plus. And as we look to expand the measure sets there, the plan is to expand what we're bringing to US CDI, at least from the perspective of CMS, so that the data elements expand to incorporate that. Where appropriate, we use the data elements from US CDI Plus or US CDI, but if there are additional data elements that are needed, then as we understand it, there are mechanisms to be able to expand that set out. So we don't fundamentally see it as inherently limiting the measures we can pursue. And in fact, we have a group in CMS under the post-acute care measure group that is providing data elements that are related to patient assessments rather than ECQM specifically. So that's already an expansion of bringing in additional data elements to US CDI Plus from outside of just the ECQM space. And I think portends to an opportunity to expand further as well.
Thank you so much. I believe I see no more hands raised, and much of the comments in the chat are regarding the topics at hand. So before we pivot to the next section of the conversation, I neglected to allow the federal members who joined today to introduce themselves when we started the conversation. So just for this, because they are present with us today, I would like to give a chance for the members, the federal members, to introduce themselves and welcome them to the call. I might just start by calling you out. And again, if I've missed anybody at the end, I apologize. But again, a quick 20-second introduction. So Nidra Garrett from the CDC.
Yes. I'm Nidra Garrett, and I actually am leading some of the USCDI work at CDC.
Thank you so much. Meg Marshall from the VA.
Yes. Hi, Meg Marshall, Director of Regulatory Affairs in the Clinical Informatics Department.
Thank you so much. I believe Michelle Schreiber is here from CMS, and Bridget Calvert is also here. So starting with Michelle.
Yeah, hi, I'm Michelle Schreiber. I'm a primary care physician by background. I'm the deputy director of the Center for Clinical Standards and Quality at CMS and the director of the Quality Measurement and Value-Based Incentives Group. Bridget, and we also have Joel Andrus on the line.
Hi, this is Bridget Calvert. I am the senior DQM implementation lead with the Division of Quality Measurement in CCSQ at CMS.
Thank you. Joel? Joel Andrus from CMS as well.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. My name is Joel Andrus. I'm the senior DQM program lead for Grunberg, and I work with Bridget for Michelle.
Thank you. Moving on to Ram Sriram from NIST.
Yeah, I am Ram Sriram, and I lead the program for NIST Health IT program. Our main focus is on testing tools for interoperability right now, but we do a wide variety of other things in the health IT field. I also head the software and systems division at NIST.
Thank you so much. Welcome, friends. And so I think now, I believe we completed the first task of our meeting today. So moving on to the next slide, please. We're going to after all of this level setting, our task, what we thought would be for the next section of this meeting is to apply some of the base understandings that we have gained from the presentation from Al Taylor and ONC, and grateful for that, to the charge of our next meetings. Next slide, please. I wanted to reiterate the charge again, just before we dove into the work and kind of went into the virtual Google Doc world, just began to remind ourselves, and there were some questions regarding this, but the overall charge is to review and provide recommendations to draft USCDI version 4. When you break that down, this is first and highlighted and bolded, commenting and making recommendations on the draft new data classes and elements from USCDI 4, and then that second charge, reviewing and commenting on any level 2 data classes and elements that were not included in draft USCDI 4 that we want to elevate. Again, that is the work of this meeting. Much of that work will happen asynchronously. One of the things that we want to discuss as we go forward is an opportunity to, if you are new to this work, to reach out to existing members who've worked previously, just to ensure that we know how to do that asynchronous work. But we're going to have an example as we go forward. I believe Al will share, if we go next slide, please. I'm going to start with and a deep dive into kind of a subset of the new data class review. And then when we get to the Google Docs section, Al will share, I believe, his screen so that we can see how the work will actually happen. So as part of our promise from last meeting, we thought we'd take a stab at kind of creating a sequence of how to address the new data elements. One of the things that we thought we might do is address maybe straightforward elements. Again, any apologies for not getting, for putting things in straightforward elements that were not straightforward, but we wanted to make sure that people who were new to the committee had familiarity and comfort with the work. And so we centered some straightforward elements in our mind initially, but we also recognize kind of the converse of that, that there already are draft elements in USCDI v4 that are of community concern, such as advanced care planning and those preference elements that are put into the goals section. So we recognize a need to both allow enough time to do that work before we have to submit our final recommendations, and so scheduling it early enough to accomplish that, but also giving a little bit of a buffer in case there are members of the community that we need to bring in to assist with that work as public speakers, and just to ensure that we can notify the public about when we're addressing those topics so they might be able to come and participate in public comment. Any questions on that approach? Does it seem rational? It seems like it also goes off precedent based on review of past ISWG approaches. Again, so this is the tentative approach that we're taking. You'll see that reflected in the Google Doc as we go forward. Next slide, please. Oh, All right, next slide. I believe, so Grace, actually I wanna make sure, is your question relevant to the content I just presented, or was it relevant to a previous question?
It's relevant to the content you just presented. I just want to clarify, as someone that previously was on the work group, if others recall, there was a grid that we worked on and invested quite a bit of time into what I thought was prioritization criteria to use as a reference document for future groups that people could look at. And as they're looking at different data classes and elements, using the grid as a guide when we provide our recommendations. I do recognize that there's a USCDI V4 prioritization criteria slide that was just presented, and it's a little bit different than what the previous grid was. So I just for clarity's sake, and if there isn't an answer now, that's fine. But as a work group member, I just wanted to know what I should be using for the homework that we're doing week to week and in our discussions.
So this is on the previous slide. Can we go back? Back one just to look at this slide, Grace?
Yes, as we're reviewing all of these and what should be prioritized and how we're hitting our charges, there was a prioritization criteria that was previously crafted. And I'm not sure if that's going to be shared as a reference. I don't know if Al may have more information on that, or we're just sticking to the USCDI V4 prioritization criteria that's included in this deck and using that as we refer to charge A.
Al, do you have a thought on that?
So Grace, we can format the resource however you like. So we have that available, and I think using that as a guide along with all of your other experience and knowledge to guide your discussion, you could look at this and say, oh, this one is very clearly public health, and we should advance this because of that. Not so much these, because these were selected using those criteria. These on this slide were used in some combination to select, to select for draft V4, but this 200 or so level 2 data elements that were not selected, some of those have more or less applicability to those 9 criteria. And so absolutely use those. And whether you use the slide or I would say that we don't currently have a ready online resource, readily accessible resource, other than digging in standards bulletin. We can, but having those slides, this slide, which is available publicly, as using that as a guide, I think is a great idea.
Thank you.
Grace, also, if we can assist by editing the Google Doc to make sure that those priorities are highlighted within our work and can be sorted as such for the sake of all members, that seems like good work to do. And I appreciate that feedback. All right.
In the meantime, Grace, as we go through this, when we show the recommendation or the justification, there's a field for that in these, and we can, and you can, as we discuss the ones that were already selected, that's less of a concern unless you object to their inclusion. But the ones that if you are to recommend a level 2 data element, recommending it. Why recommending it? Because it applies to behavioral health and underserved communities. That's a great use of that. A great use of the comment field in the slide, and also a great use of that resource being the prioritization criteria.
Thank you for clarifying. Thank you.
I also think there's some precedent of that happening already in the Google Docs. If we go in there, I believe some of the comments that already are in there regarding trying to elevate existing level 2 data elements reference why within the prioritization criteria for inclusion, it seems like they would be important. So hopefully we can expand on that as we go forward into this work. All right, Al is ready to share his screen. We're just gonna move to the Google Doc specifically.
Oh, Okay, so this is the, so Sarah, we talked about this before, but this document is the editable one where comments, recommendations by the members can be entered in the on the doc. And we had both Grace and Mark were right on it as soon as it became public, had previous access and they know how to use it. They've already entered some comments on these, on the first few data elements. But what I did toward it sort of ease the discussion of the work group is to add a list of the data elements that were added to draft V4. I'm starting with allergies and intolerances, the substance non-medication, and then scrolling down to the bottom, the last one alphabetically by data class was average blood pressure. And so we've pre-populated this. But I have not added comments I just present these because this may not be the working order that we have it, because the slide that went over the data elements in draft V4, the new ones, are not in exactly this order because of for various reasons, but we can use this entry to add all member comments to the spreadsheet, and whoever gets there first gets the first mention. If anyone else wants to support it, SCD, that's I think our illustrious co-chair, Sarah DeSilvi, added her initials. And if somebody else wants to come along and add their comments as well, maybe in support or maybe in contradiction, they can add their comments there as far as whether either it's in justification or in the work group discussion. So that's just an overview, and I'm going to hand it back over to Sarah.
Hans, do you have questions?
Yeah, just a quick question and a comment. Appreciate that. And Elle, I think this spreadsheet helps a lot. I was just curious that in another version, I'm not sure whether it was a prior version or not, where we started to put in for background to help assist to address prioritization. Whether it's already in FHIR IG or CCDA IG, both one the other. Where would you, is that just a different tab, or is that just a...
Last year and this year both we had a separate worksheet. And the separate worksheet, last year we started with this, the content, the new content in draft V4. This is the new content in draft V4. This is the content in draft V4. And specifically, this last year, this was used primarily to capture the status of the data elements or something as close to the data element as you can do in FHIR and CCDA. We can do that that is a separate document that some people have access to, but this would content, whether or not they're already represented in FHIR IG and don't require much in the way of development, is definitely a plus as far as the development burden goes. And that can be captured. We had this separate, though. This was like a separate analysis of its presence in FHIR and in CCDA. That can be transferred to the master document, which is where we're going to be. Specifically, we're going to be developing all recommendations, not just draft V4 recommendations, if that makes any sense.
It does. And columns E and F, over the last week, the entries that you see there, I was the editor of that. Ricky, you may have gone through it and added some or updated, but that's meant to be reflective of version 4 draft proposed and current either CCDA and FHIR IG as it's going through ballot to support USCDI version 3. So it's not final, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, and so this, but and I just wanted to point out also that even if something doesn't have a presence in FHIR already, which a lot of times, if not, if there's some sort of presence of that data element or something similar to the data element in FHIR and CCDA, it doesn't mean that that doesn't mean that it's not feasible. It just means that additional development needs more development than others needs to be done in order to make it exchangeable by FHIR and CCDA.
And I think your comment is important there that depending on what that is, Is it in this case, color scheme is trying to indicate green already there, so should not be requiring any additional right. standards work, may already be supported as a result. Yellow is that it looks like it is that new work needs to be done, but it might not be that big. And the orangey type of color is indicating it's not there, likely will require a bit more work to get it done. And consequently, the implementation might be more extensive than what some might think. So it's try to just gradate a little bit to get that sense of how much extra effort is needed beyond what is there. And we at least we believe we always need to keep that in mind to keep a realistic, practical glide path. And going back to Al Yorva, one of the items on the slides, that it needs to be a reasonable incremental step.
Okay. And particularly and specifically for standards development or implementation guide development. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
And so it's possible that something that we proposed, although we tried to do our homework before we published draft before, it's possible that something simply can't be developed in FHIR and CCDA, although I think we got a lot of smart people working on it, and I think we can. But it's possible, and so that might be its own reason not to include it in V4, but that's a possibility, but it's something that we keep in mind for sure.
Yeah, I don't think we have seen anything yet that cannot be done. Ultimately, it's how much effort does it take and how do you need to get it done to make it work?
Right.
I just want to make a note, Al, that our colleagues are asking that we copy the content on EF into the working recommendations doc just for ease, but acknowledge what Stephen's raised, that we all collectively agree as we enter an editable space that we do not edit the content on ENF in the recommendations doc. That seems wise just from simplifying where you go perspective.
No, that makes sense. So, and that's, and we can add, so that's, we can do that. We can add it to the end as far as details go. I'm not asking that be done for every level 2 data element that's recommended to be added. I think that's for us, it's confirmation that what we propose as being feasible actually is. And there may be some that are more difficult, but we can add that as a to those that were proposed. But again, to the work group members that are doing that work to evaluate the FHIR IGs, any FHIR IG and any CDA IG, that could be the work of somebody who might recommend it to be added. But I'm not asking for every single one of these to be fully analyzed in FHIR, because that's one of the pieces of work that ONC does when we think of a level 2 data element that wasn't in V4, you know, what else should be, is it FHIR and CCDA feasible?
And maybe even just because of the data, thank you to Hans and Ricky who led this work. It's really helpful. Maybe because of so much data being in elements that may not align with the order in this document, even just another tab would be helpful so that we're working within one space. I just want to acknowledge all the possible labor of trying to align all the recommendations and elements that Hans put in the other document to this document. If it's too challenging, I think a tab for reference might be sufficient, but I just leave that.
Yeah, that's a good start. I mean, that's a good start. I'll work on that.
All right. Okay, wonderful. Maybe a tab is good. All right. So now I believe so. Work public comment is in about 9 minutes. Right, we're opening up the floor for public comment. So you can see again. So just referencing again that work that Al did. So from the purpose of, there's some of the documents, elements on the document, some of the rows are by work group members. You can see that Mark and Grace, again, led the charge on that as early documenters. And then with ONC's help, we pre-populated with ONC as the work group member, all of those elements in draft USCDI V4 that are our first charge. And you can see my attempt to start asynchronous conversation and work group discussion. Again, knowing that I'm new to this space. And if there's a precedent, it would be great just from a sake of needing to copy the comments and consolidate the comments into our final recommendation to work as much as possible collectively in the same space, because that makes it easy for us to track and resolve and address comments, whether they be agreeing or disagreeing or offering further nuance. So again, just to clarify, every first USCIV 4 new data class that we need to address has its own row, and we can comment and asynchronously in column J, and then we can have the reference from the work that Hans did in a different tab. Does that sound like a good, everyone understand the charge? Can we have specific grace?
Tara, this is, the only other thing that I would recommend to the work group is we're looking for, because the goal is a concrete recommendation to ONC. And so where there's a concrete recommendation, I would recommend adding it to the column H member recommendation. And so in the case of say line 13 with alcohol use, the concrete recommendation is low-ink as the applicable vocabulary standard, for example. That's just one. That's one suggestion, as concrete as you can make it, so that ONC knows exactly what the work group is recommending, and what the HITAC is recommending, to be able to act on that specific recommendation.
Thank you. That's really helpful. All right. So, any other questions? Grace, you had your hand up.
I'm good.
Yeah, great. Any other questions on the actual, this is our attempt to organize the first chart, the first element of our charge. You can see there's, if people want to add elements of that second element of the charge, which is elevating current level two, you can put it below all of the ONC entries. So there will be some above right now because of Mark and Grace's early lead. But if you have, the second element of the charge, which is entering a row for any new, any level two element that you want to elevate into USCIV 4, just put it in. And you can follow the precedent of what Grace and Mark have said above. So identifying yourself as identifying your stakeholder group, identifying your work group membership, and then following the data class and USDI denoting obviously level two. You can see Grace did this in row one. And then following Grace's template, going through the recommendations and justifications. Yes, so Mark is making comment on process, thank you. Right, so everything that we comment in discussion needs to be consolidated into a final recommendation. So for right now, we're gathering comment and then we'll consolidate into the final assessment. Okay. Any other questions before we move on? Because we have 5 more minutes before we move into the public comment. I will state that again, I recommend that you find I recommend you find a buddy for someone who's done this before. If you're new and this seems complicated, because I had a little huddle session and I'm already much better for it. So I'm happy to assist with matching new members with old members for an orientation to how this work happens. Stephen?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that the way over on the right in column M, co-chair priority, this is something that we learned along the way, is that one of the challenging roles for the co-chairs really is to take and manage and summarize all the input from the work group members and wrangle that into a final set of recommendations. So we will thank you for that effort ahead of time, because it is not small.
Thank you again. And thank you for all the co-chairs who've come before us. Your assistance and guidance is very helpful. Wonderful. Okay, so now I believe if we are oriented to how we leverage the first doc, which is the doc that Hans and Ricky put a lot of content in, again, thank you for that. We're gonna add that as a tab so we can reference alignment with FHIR and NCCDA, wonderful. And we understand that ONC has populated a row for every new data class, which is that first element of our charge, right, for work group review. And I hope we understand that any level two class, data class that you want to elevate as an ISWG member, you can add a row and follow the precedent that Grace set in row one. With those elements in hand, I've stated those hopeful assumptions. If those elements are in hand, I believe we can switch back to the presentation. And again, just going to close and state that please do reach out if you want assistance and to have an asynchronous virtual work group, a draft Google Doc work session so that we can all make sure that we know how to do the work that we've been charged to do. All right, so this is pivoting to the upcoming work group meetings. Again, I did as much review as I possibly could, and I'm very grateful again for precedence. So about this time last year, there was a very helpful comment in the ISWG meetings regarding a need to anticipate when our comments might need to be completed in order to draft our final recommendations. So in this list of meetings, we're aiming to complete our comment period to allow drafting of those final recs and review at the April 5th meeting to present to HITACH by the middle to end of March. So I highlighted that just to frame our work, because although the final recommendations due in April, our comments will have to be completed prior to that in order to allow the drafting of the final recommendation. Does that make sense? So that way that we lean in intensely right now, we kind of step back and consolidate and review in the middle of end of March, like in the end of March, and then present our final recs on April 5th. Wonderful.
Sarah, just to iterate that the February 7th meeting is off cadence.
Correct. It is off cadence because of HITACH. Thank you so much, Mark. All right. Okay. So again, thank you to all previous members who have volunteered to assist with newer members in a buddy system. I know it's appreciated as we do this critical work together. Next slide, please. I believe we're able to enter into public comment a little early, unless there's any final comments from the ISWG members before we open up the floor to the public. All right. Oh, Brian?
Just a quick clarification. I can request one of those tutorials. The red, yellow, green assessment of the amount of lift, how is that accomplished by consensus, or who contributes to that assessment?
I don't want to say that that's a purely objective one, but it's really hard to quantify. The way that I explain it is we figure out there's some ones that are pretty easy, the ones that have been already implemented in FHIR and in the IG and CCDA, and then the ones that might require a little bit more development. And the example for USCDI version 2 was most of what we added in USCDI version 2 were very straightforward. The SGUH data elements, not so much, and they were not already represented. Although there were some similarities with other observations and assessments, but they required more development, and the amount of time that HL7 spent on writing IGs for that one was close to the amount that they spent on all the rest of them combined. So it's that that aggregate lift is something that we don't know a final answer, but we have to do some research. These are the ones that we want to add. Are these the ones that we can add? That's a calculation, if you will, that ONC does kind of continuously.
Thank you, Al. I wanted to go back to a slide that I think I missed as I was addressing. Yes, as I was moving through our own internal comment, One of the things that seems important to consider as we really kickstart the labor of this group is whether there are guest speakers that are critical for review of either that first element of the charge, which is level four new data classes, or those level two elements that we're asking to elevate. There might be members of the community that we feel like are really critical in order to have context in this conversation. And I want us to think about that early so we can make sure that we can get those individuals lined up to address that work. And so this is not necessarily a question that needs an answer right now. It's just a question that, based on precedent, it seems important to consider so that we can make sure members of the community are part of this work. And I'm just grateful for that consideration, and maybe just email the team at ISWG just to make sure that we can correctly coordinate any guest speakers that might be required.
This is Sarah. Thank you so much for that. This is Steve Einer. I keep coming back and thinking about what the adoption rate for items in versions subsequent to version one might be, and can't help but thinking, while it's not a content specific issue, there might be a need to make some recommendations in how enforcement or how requirements for subsequent adoption of different versions are concerned. Because I can see that being a real stumbling block down the line. Because it doesn't do us a lot of good to make recommendations about the content if they're not being adopted and utilized.
Well, Stephen, just there's two points that I want to make about that. One is a total of four developers and four products have certified to at least some of the SFAP standards as of today. So that's not very many. Obviously, we've got upwards of 600 that are certified to the Cures update, which was required at the end of last year, and only a few have updated to using the SFAP standards. So that's number one. And the adoption, we try, I guess, if it looks like regardless of how many have updated to version two and how many might update to version three, that's our goal is to get voluntary adoption and whether or not and find out why maybe there's a majority has not or does not voluntarily update. There's a lot of different reasons why that could be the case. So ONC needs to determine if the reason is that the aggregate lift is too high, then maybe we need to adjust the number of data elements that we add with each version. But there's all kinds of other reasons why that could be the case. So it's on ONC to figure out. So how do we maximize? How do we better promote adoption? It's too early to say that four is not very many. Or that we should get, that more people ought to be doing that. How many are in the pipeline right now? I'm not 100% sure. I don't think I have that information at all. It's not until they become certified that I have that more concrete information.
Right. Yeah. Now, I was not trying to come to a conclusion, but just kind of wondering aloud whether there might be some utility in the work group providing some feedback in that space, because, there are different benefits or different implications for different data elements, whether you're looking at care coordination in care side or public health reporting as another utility. And it's a little bit of a chicken and egg kind of issue as to where demand is coming from for the element of exchange and where it fits in terms of, whether there's a mandate for it to be included, what's the basis of the mandate, whether it's a quality measure for CMS or a public health reporting measure or a critical piece of data for patients with cardiac issues. And I think that becomes really relevant in looking at prioritizing or driving what gets adopted and where do we need to, you know, what incentives, if any, need to be provided in what space.
Thank you so much for that comment, and thank you for the answer. We do need to move to the public comment just to acknowledge the public voice at this time. And Hans, we'll try to come back to you. Maybe you can put your comment in the chat just so we can make sure we integrate it. So moving to public comment to allow some of the questions that have been holding in the chat to come forward at this time.
Great, thanks, Sarah. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause just for a moment to see if anyone raises their hand. All right, we have Charles Gabriel. You have 3 minutes. Go ahead. I think you're muted, Charles.
Sorry about that. Good morning, everyone. My question about USCDI, so if the process is to take to adopt some of the USCDI plus, will that go to the USCDI to adopt some of the agencies in the recommended data classes, or it goes directly from USCDI plus over?
Al, I don't know if you can answer that question.
I'm not sure that I can either. If the speaker can repeat the question. I'm not sure I'm following the question.
Am I on mute now or okay? Yeah. So
I just would like for you to restate the question.
So the question is, in USCDI will go into development once you suggest the data and the data is validated or verified, it goes for development. So how the USCDI plus gets into the cycle of development, like how it gets adopted? Does it go?
It's separate. The data elements in USCDI plus are separate and program driven. What gets added to USCDI is based on this process that I just described today, and the adoption is, you know, based on just general adoption principles, whether it's voluntarily or if it's part of a rule, a future rule. Those are going to determine adoption of USCDI plus. I'm sorry, USCDI data elements, not USCDI plus. The adoption, I would imagine that the adoption of USCDI plus data elements are going to be driven by the participants in the programs that require those data, and probably that would be the main driver for that. USCDI plus, USCDI adoption, new versions of USCDI would be driven by, you know, any whatever motivation to update to new versions of USCDI.
Thanks, Al. And I don't see any more hands raised, so I'll turn it back to Sarah and Narish to close us out since we are at time.
I want to thank everybody for coming together today, and hopefully it was a helpful level setting on our general work and process and an orientation to how we're going to work asynchronously. Naresh, any final thoughts?
Definitely. Thanks again for all your help and time. And I hope we covered most of the questions and concerns around process and priorities. More to come in the next few weeks. And feel free to reach us offline if you have any questions or any orientation needs around getting to that Google Doc. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.